I'm not yet in a strong spot for that.
All right, no problem. I'm going to keep calling Richard, if you don't mind. K2KNB, K2KNB. From K-A-U-I, H-Y. Well, I don't know. Maybe he's not home or still sleeping. So we got a brand new antenna and some good connections on W2VL, and what I understand, it's back to its old former self of many years ago.
Yes, so I heard it. It's a little bit stronger out here, but, you know, I still have terrain as an issue. But I did notice out by, you know, exit 59, exit 60, you know, when the terrain isn't in my way, the signal strength is definitely stronger, so it sounds pretty good.
It sure does. It sure does. K2KNB, K2KNB from K-A-2-Y-H-Y. Pat, I'm going to go back over to 440 and maybe he's monitoring there. I'll give him a call there. Don't mind. K-A-2-Y-H-Y.
Hey, Steve, no problem. I'll QSY. Traffic is non-existent this morning, so I'm almost at work anyway. K2YHYWB2CMF, QSY.
K2KNB, K2KNB from K-A-2-Y-H-Y.
Quick cleanup. I mean, they're pricey, but they're really well made. Well, you know, it's something you rely on. You know, if they're pricey, they are. But at least it's done according to spec, and the right parts will be there, and so on and so forth. To me, that's worth more than dealing with stupidity. I hate people who don't do the job right. That drives me nuts.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've taken some of the small things, a weed whacker, a hedge trim, and things like that, into, you know, general small motor repair places. And it never comes out the same. And I think if I were able to take it back to the authorized dealer or, like the Honda generator, take it back to Honda generators, not, you know, Honda, not to someone else, I think you get better service. You may pay a little bit more, but I think it's done correctly.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You know, I mean, to get a good job is definitely worthwhile. I don't, like I said, I don't like people who do a lousy job. I got a vacuum store around the corner from my house. They could probably do it, but I don't know. I just don't have faith. You know, certain things, you know, you want done properly. Dyson, to me, is a good vacuum, and it's made well, and this is the first time. I believe the thing has two belts. One that goes from the, whatever the part is inside, to the roller, and, you know, the brush. And then there's another part, another belt inside. There's a thinner one and a thicker one. I think while they're in there, I'll just have them change them both. And this way, I won't have to pay for labor twice and get the job done right. I got two other things I need repaired, and they're also going to come from the OEM, you know. And you have a bad battery charger that broke, and I have a cable that I use from my batteries to my flash, which broke, and it's a solid piece, so you can't get inside it to fix it. So I'm just going to replace that.
Yeah, well, of course, anything for business purposes you need to have done correctly. Yeah, they have two belts in the thing, but it's funny because I can visualize it, and I can't remember what the second belt is actually doing. I don't know if there's actually a motor in the head there itself, which may be turning. Well, in any event, the house will be a little bit on the dusty side for a couple of days. How long do they take to repair? I have no idea.
No, honestly, I've never been there before. But, I mean, I would imagine it's not a big deal to pop the thing open and change a couple of belts. I don't know what their policy is, because they were closed yesterday and I didn't call them. But I figured, you know, the house was vacuumed, and not so bad. But the point is that I just want it done, like, yesterday. I believe the one belt goes from the clutch to the roller, or the brush, whatever you want to call it. And the other one, I think, goes from the motor to the clutch. And I think that's the one that's broken, the one from the motor to the clutch. And it's inside where, it's a pain in the neck to access it. So I figured, let them do it. They'll do it, they'll go inside, they'll fix it, they'll clean it up, and bada-bing, bada-bang, and hopefully it'll be over and done with, or I may have to go back there again another day this week. Who knows? But either way, it's not a big deal. We have brooms.
Teacher Camby, well, I was going to say that we're expecting another nor'easter Tuesday or Wednesday. It may bring some wind, and, you know, you're talking about they don't know whether it'll bring snow or rain, but if it's not too wet, just open up the windows. You know, let the nor'easter blow the dust out of the house, so everyone to the northeast of you will be covered, but who knows.
And to Iowa. You know, it's funny you say that. Down in Florida, I could not go there for 3 or 4 or 5 months and come up there, and the house is not dusty. I mean, that makes a drop of dust, but nothing like it here. The thrust up here just, I don't know. It just comes out of nowhere, but it's everywhere. So, how can I tell you? I guess that's how it works. Let's see, I'm going to get on the Murder Brook. I guess, I'll take that up to the solid state and head east.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's an interesting study, actually, Jeff, because, you know, why is there more dirt in the northeast than there is in the southeast of Florida? But it's interesting, you know, it could be related to the amount of traffic, what the soil is like. But it is interesting. I'm just thinking about our own experiences there. I don't have to wipe my feet for the most part.
Well, I would figure that it would be due to whatever's in the air. You know, and that's probably the situation. I don't know. We would just live in a dirty place.
Yeah, but actually, it is interesting. You know, the winds that affect us generally come off of the land and would be bringing, let's say, call it land dirt with them, whereas the winds coming off, particularly in Florida, would mostly be coming off of the water and would bring salt and corrosion, but not necessarily dirt. But that could be a whole dissertation for you there.
Well, how do they say? Not my job. But somebody who's qualified to do that would make that would probably make a good study. I mean, it's probably less interesting to them than it is to us. But I would think so. How was your St. Patty's Day?
Yeah, we were up at a wedding actually in that place that I mentioned. Very nice. It was second marriage for the girl. Her husband unfortunately passed. Well, young girl. But her husband passed away a couple of years ago, and it was interesting because she remains very close to her husband's family. And when she met this guy and, you know, felt that there would be, and it was like 4 years, 5 years after her husband passed away. But, you know, she said to him, "I wanted to make it clear to you, I have two sets of parents and three brothers, her own brother and the two brothers of her husband." So that was really nice. So the whole family was there, and it just was nice. There's one child, and just nicely done. But the reason why I mentioned the place is they have the largest wine collection in, I think, the United States. They have something like 70,000 bottles of wine insured for something upwards of $40 million.
Interesting. I don't know. Me not being a drinker, it doesn't entice me, but there's something going on over here with the police. Flashing lights. Yeah, Roger. I was in at a bar mitzvah on St. Patty's Day. I was photographing a bar mitzvah in Port Washington. A golf and country club there. And that's where I spent my day. It was a nice day, and then it was an afternoon party. Got home around 5 minutes of seven. And unloaded the car, changed my clothes, and ran out and met some friends for dinner. We went up to the mall. And then we went to see the new Death Wish movie. It was pretty good.
Yeah, I think the first one caught everyone by surprise. Who's in the second one?
That's Bruce Willis. He was pretty good. I mean, let me tell you, there's nobody better than Charles Bronson for that part. He was amazing. And I was a huge Charles Bronson fan back in the day. I followed everything he did. I loved all his movies, and you know, I like action movies. So they were nice. point, I had every one of Charles Bronson's movies on VHS tape, and we used to watch them all the time. But Willis is good. You know, he's the kind of actor, too. And the original Paul Kersey, which was the character in the movie, was an architect. And this Paul Kersey was a surgeon. So it changed a couple of small details. But other than that, the story was pretty much the same. And we enjoyed it. My wife actually liked it. She hates those kind of movies. You know, so at least it was a decent evening. I didn't have to listen to the, you know, bitching and moaning.
Well, he was kind of, I don't know what to call it, true to life, right? Because he was accused of killing his girlfriend or something like that. And I forget the whole story with the gun that was found near him or something, but I think he was eventually acquitted. They didn't have enough evidence against him. And I think he's passed away now. You would know better, I guess. The movie was good. You know, it's good against evil. I do have problems with the violence, the violence he's perpetrated on his wife and daughter. But I would have that in any movie. I just can't. I don't relate to that well. But the movie itself was good. I always good versus evil, and the fact that he got away. You know, as a good guy, that he got away with it.
Yeah, he did. But in this movie, it wasn't as graphic as it was in the first one with the wife and daughter. They just showed them the guys that broke in, grabbed them, and you know, held them around their neck, and they cut to a scene where they showed the outside of the house, and then you saw the blast from the guns go off. So you didn't really see the rape and stuff like that. So it wasn't as graphic, but the story was pretty much the same. And I mean, if you saw the originals, and I say originals because there were four or five of them. You knew what the story was, and Bruce Willis is pretty good in it. I mean, you know, he's an action type of character anyway. So it was good. It was enjoyable, and we had some fun with our friends. This other couple that we've been friendly with for a long time. So it was an enjoyable evening. And then yesterday I spent half a day on the computer, going over all the pictures from the job and getting everything ready to get ready to send to the client. And relaxed the rest of the day. I was tired. So that was that. And to IOM Mobile, Solid State and the Willy Wonka.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if some of the writing of the revision of the movie was also taking care not to promote or highlight violence against women, because I think that's one of the things that they really have to watch out for. But anyway, yeah, I always liked Bruce Willis, both in the movies and in the when he was on. Oh, I forget the. Good grief. The mind is gone. The TV show where he was in a detective agency with, whatever her name was, LeBlanc, that needed to have lenses. She didn't want her face shown the way it was, so she would have a blurring lens to take away some of her lines. Her name will come to me. Anyway, yeah, I always liked him in that show. He's a good actor.
He always played a lot of action parts, which made him, you know, right for the part, I guess. You know, I gotta tell you, you know, in this movie, his wife was a blonde also. I forget her name. But she's a well-known actress. I just, I'm at a loss for the name. I'm not much with names. I basically, that's my weakness, by the way. I don't remember people's names. It's the weirdest thing. All my life it's been this way. It's not like it's something new, you know. So sister. If I don't remember their name, I make up a name. I call them Bubba, Wilbur, Jose, Simon, Ralph, whatever pops in my head at the moment. And they think I'm doing it to be funny. They don't realize that I'm at a loss.
Yeah, it was actually Sybil Shepherd is the one that he was on with television. I think it was called Blue Moon. It's funny, you forget the names, but, you know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes later, you can remember them. Oh, well. You know what? If you don't use a name all the time, just like if you don't use a formula all the time, it just, some people may have instant recall. Some people are great with trivia, you know, right off the top of their head. Nowadays, you don't even have to be that good. You can go to Google and get your answers, like, in a couple of seconds. But, yeah, that was the one, Sybil Shepherd. And you know, she was, I don't know, maybe she was in her late 30s at that time, whatever that was on. And they I don't know, you would know the lens, but it's kind of a, they call it a blurring lens or something, so that any lines in her face would be blurred away. So, interesting.
That's an effect. That's an effect. Yeah, Sybil Shepherd, she was a beautiful model and actress. I basically remember her. But it's funny, you know, with the names. I was doing a bar mitzvah one day, and I couldn't remember the kids' names. They had three kids. So I called the bar mitzvah boy Boris. I called his sister Dolores. And I called his brother Taurus.
Well, it's hard. Again, like I said, you know, use a name. Like, for example, the wedding we went to, I know a lot of the people for many years, but I don't see them that often. And so, you know, particularly with me, and sometimes visually also, there's problems. But, you know, mostly the same people that I know them, and I can't remember their names. Sometimes people are really good because they remember that there's a problem, so they'll say, hi, it's such and such, you know, and I take a deep sigh of relief when that happens.
You know, I've always found that I don't forget faces, but I do forget names. So when I see somebody, I'll always, you know, recognize them, and I'll give them a big smile and go, hi, how are you? And it kind of works.
By the way, the bride's uncle is moving down to Valencia in Boynton. I don't know if there's another name after it, but I think they're building now and they're scheduled to move down there in August.
Lucky them. There are a bunch of Valencias, but it's all GL homes. They make all the Valencia places. They built my development also. They make a decent house. I don't have much in the way of a problem with it. I actually love my house down there. The only problem I have is I'd love to get rid of the steps, and instead of having it upstairs, have a U-shaped ranch with a pool in the center courtyard. You know, to me that's what I'd like somewhere down the road if I ever decide to change houses.
You know, it's easier. I mean, you're just going up and down steps. It's tough. And, you know, we have a little doggy. It's tough on her also. She says to me, could our next house be a ranch? I don't want to go up and down these steps anymore. It was funny, too, Jeff. We left her. She doesn't do well left alone in a strange environment. So the last time we left her at my son's house when we went out for dinner, she literally ripped apart the door frame, scratching to get out of there. So we boarded her the first time that she's ever been away from us, and you could tell from her that at least in the next couple of days she doesn't want to leave our side.
Yeah, that's pretty much a standard thing with boarding. A lot of dogs don't take to boarding. When I board my dogs, which is very, very infrequently, I board them by their vet. The vet has boarding facilities. understand there are three doctors that are at all times, you know, all working hours. So, they're good. They've got veterinary techs that that take care of the dogs, and they're pretty good. They put them in a decent-sized kennel and so on and so forth. You know, that's what happens. And to I.O.N. is coming up on Plainview Road.
Thank you, Candy. We let her board with the girl who does her grooming, and she is in a full house environment, no cages or anything. And I think the girl had three or four dogs, including her own. And it's funny because, you know, Daisy is like a nervous Lelia there, and I guess she didn't like the little dogs because they're like her, you know. So she took to the big dog. I forget what he was, Burmese or something like that. forget what the breed is, but you know, probably a 80-pound dog, and here's Daisy, a 12-pound dog. But she took to the big dog, and she preferred to eat her food out of the big dog's bowl, and the big dog was kind enough to let her do that. So, anyway, I always wonder about kennels with her. When if she's in a cage, she'll probably bark most of the night, so that would be disturbing. Anyhow, what are you doing, getting off at Old Country Road and going that way?
Yeah, that's the next exit, a half a mile up. I'll get off and I'll head east and take it over to Newtown Road, and it's right over there. It's not on Newtown Road, but it's right off Newtown Road. So, and I know Newtown Road because I used to work there years ago. And I used to deal with the DJ company over there as well many years ago. So, spent a lot of time on that street. yeah, you know, you gotta know your dog, and you gotta know what their capabilities are and how they're going to react. I used to have a German Shepherd, and he was a big German Shepherd. And when I got him, I lived in an apartment in Brooklyn, in Manhattan Beach, and I put a door on the kitchen. And I used to, you know, when he was a puppy, because he could chew everything, I would lock him in the kitchen when I went out. And it was a big kitchen, so it wasn't like he was crowded. And then one day I come home. He ate through a plaster wall, got out, and tore up my couch and love seat. There was foam rubber all over the house.
Wow, yeah, we've had things like that. You know, you never know what's going through their mind, because after all, there are animals. The strangest thing that we had was when we first moved out here, it was relatively safe to put the cats out in the backyard. Only one of them would jump the fence, and she usually went to a neighbor behind us now. You know, having lost several cats in the street and a dog, whatever, so I wouldn't do it. But one day we came home and the house was covered in bird feathers. Just covered in bird feathers. There's this one cat with one feather sticking out of his mouth saying, or, you know, giving a look like, well, I didn't do this. I had nothing to do with it. Oh, man, then what a mess that was to clean up.
Yeah, that's funny. I can hear the cat now going, hey, you got any more of that stuff?
Yeah, and I think we had two cats at the time, so the other cat was probably saying, hey, I had nothing to do with this. It's all on him, you know?
Yeah, roger, roger. That's like you see in a cartoon. He did it. funny stuff. I gotta tell you that my wife likes cats. I don't hate cats. I don't want one in the house, you know? So, I'm more of a dog person. So anyway, my wife has this feral cat that comes around, and she feeds him. And every day she puts out dog food for him. And I gotta tell you that we can't get rid of this guy. And so one day she went down to pet him, and he growled. He, you know, he like hissed at her. So she step back, and she didn't do that, but she still puts food out for him. I don't know. I'd love to see somebody adopt him.
Yeah, feral cats are difficult, even with the towns when, you know, they'll take in certain cats for adoption, they won't take in others, because feral cats have been out so like, they did have feral cats almost 2 years ago, and they gave birth, and three really beautiful kittens, one of them a beautiful gray kitten, unfortunately didn't make it across the street following the family, but the other two became hand friendly, and we were actually able to bring them in the house and eventually get them adopted, but the mother we were able to have neutered, spayed. The father we were never able to court, but I haven't seen him for a while, so I think he may have also bit the bullet, not sure. But, you know, they're not good because you're putting food out, and I don't know how it is with wildlife in your area, but we have raccoons, we have a possum, I don't know what else we have hanging around. I know there's rats, you know, all over the place, you know, in certain areas. And you're putting food out, you don't know that just the cat is coming to get it. So, never to my liking, but again, I guess we help the cat to survive. KJKMD.
Yeah, that's the idea, you know. Personally, if I would put food out for a cat, I would not do it on my property. I would put it somewhere else, and they'd find it, you know. It's just that... once you feed them, you can't get rid of them. That's the problem. I come home, and I see this cat sitting in front of my front door. Like, every day. And when I had Diesel, it was good, because Diesel would chase them. But now we have two little old dogs, and they're not really, well, they're not really hunters anymore. They were. My Yorkie was pretty good like that. Back in the day, but probably no match for a feral cat anyway.
But Yorkies were trained as ratters during the plague in Europe, and whatever it was, 1300s, 1400s, whatever it was. The Yorkies would go into the tunnels, and they would take out rats.
Oh, no wonder she's that way. Okay. She used to be, she'd walk into my house years ago, and she'd go for your ankles. When she was younger. Now that she's older, it's a whole different animal. But, what are you going to do? Anyway, I'm where I got to be, so I'm going to jump out of here. If you're here on the way back, I'll chat with you. Or on DMR. Either way. This little two-watt radio's still working. I'll catch you later, Rich. And to Iowan. W Beach is here, I think.
QKMB, Angel RBB.
All right, very good. Jesse, I'll catch you later. Got Steve and Matt in there. Matt, why don't you go ahead and pick it up and then pass it on to Steve. This is KGKMB.
I've been having fun with my ICOM 7100. I just got it. Yes, I must have got it over the weekend, but I think the kids didn't give it to me. I got the I got a new cable so I could reconfigure my signal link for my ICOM. So I was playing around with it this morning, but I've been on this net every morning, 38-38. It wasn't good this morning, the condition. It's called the Breakfast Club, but the signal link I'm going for the accessory port to the ICOM 7100. It's random because I don't see the needles come up on the tuner. Maybe bypasses my tuner. So I'm going to call Tigertronics, but I think I know it's working because it's tuning, but I don't see it. So I have to figure out what's going on with that. But but anyway, I'm going to work on my extra class license. So I'll go over to you, Steve. This is Matt and Antwerpy. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Matt. Just heading west right now. Figure I'd say hello to Richie, and I see Jeff is getting out of here. Anyway, I take it you're a little further east than I am, but you seem to be coming through Zeldin.
Matt is coming. Yeah, Matt comes in from Zeldin. I think he's heading out towards the Suffolk community. And Jeff was making a stop at Plainview. And you're probably on your way west. And okay, Matt, on the new rig, so it's nice to have a new rig. And get the bells and whistles squared away so that everything works. And not a bad thing. And Matt, where are you on your way to college now?
I you just mentioned, I think, DMR. I programmed in the rig. I'm going to join the other club. I'm going to go into Great South Bay also. I've been going down there a lot. I've been going there Tuesday nights for the extra class. You know, I found out about it from HRU, and I've been going down there. And I went there Saturday at open house at the EOC in Babylon Town Hall. That's a really nice club. So I got these repeaters programmed in my rig, you know, for Great South Bay from Selden. I think the other one's in Babylon. And I could bring it up no problem. But I noticed there's two repeaters, DMR. I don't know if I could work DMR. I don't think I programmed in it, but I wasn't really bringing. I think I brought them up, so I wonder what's with that. Or does Limelock have DSTAR? Because I'd like to program DSTAR also to have them.
Oh, okay. Didn't know. Didn't know it was coming back to me. Yeah, the club does not have any. Let's see. I think they have one DSTAR repeater. It's the old Drummond repeater? I'm not sure of that. But the D-Star digital format and the DMR digital format are incompatible. If the radio is a D-Star radio, it will not do DMR. There's very few radios so far that do the multi-mode. I'm not familiar with them, but... there is another the format that you want. There's one in over in Nassau County too. I think that's Jim. Jim has one, doesn't he? On VHF and UHF. Over to you, Richie.
Yeah, Jim has
D-Star
and I think Grace out Bay has D-Star out in Selden. I don't know where they have DMR. But Matt, that's what you have to understand. D-Star is not DMR. So if you're talking D-Star, you have to register and go through what's called a gateway, or I forget what it's called now, it's been a while. It's a gateway register or something like that. And then they'll assign you, they'll accept you so that your call sign will be recognized. DMR is different. So you have to know, I think your radio does D-Star, but not DMR. So you have to know the difference to know what you can do. This is KCKNB, Matt.
Yes, okay. Yeah, DMR, a friend of mine, N3TCC in Pennsylvania, you can get like a hotspot for DMR. Yeah, so I'm just doing D-Star, and it works great. You know, I did register my call, and it's called Reflector 20A. See, now, with D-Star, I think if you have a hotspot, then I could connect the repeaters myself and all over the country. But when you're going for a club repeater, it's just a node that connects the other one. But that's the only reason I got it. If I ever lived in an apartment or condo with antenna restrictions, I could put in like one of these hotspot things, and then I could program any repeater I want around the country and get into it right through the hotspot. Over to you, Steve.
Yeah, well, they have them on DMR as well. I'm not up on them. I don't know if Richie is, and I don't know exactly how they work. So, but they are not compatible formats. If you're in a DMR mode, you can't use D-Star. If you're in D-Star mode, you can't use DMR. So much for that. There's several major digital formats available. There's P25, there's DMR, there's D-Star, there's NextEdge, there's probably one or two others, but those, the commercial ones are the ones that attract the most attention because the radios go on the used market and were previously more wallet friendly, if you will.
I got a slide for a minute, I'll try to get back. KCKNB, Matt, over to you.
restaurant, yeah, Cecil I like a lot. You know, like my brother-in-law passed away about 2 months ago. His brother is down in Florida, and I think they're going to have a rig at the hospital. I think he's involved with the aquarium or planetarium down there. And I think that he's going to remote it. By the way, I'm going to take this rig. I'm going to purchase the software. I've been watching the video. I'm going to set up with remote control. I'm going to get the software. Sometimes my sister uses my office, not that often, but if I get the remote software, I could be sitting downstairs on my laptop or in my living room with a headset anywhere in the house, and I could operate my rig from anywhere. Only thing is with the tuner, I get a manual tuner. So if I know I'm going to work with a certain band, UHF, I want to worry about. If I want to work HF, I'll have to set the rig to a certain band they want and tune it in advance. Or unless I get an automatic antenna tune. I'm thinking about it. I'll see. Over to you, Steve. This is Matt, and to RBC for ID.
Yeah, okay, Matt. Excuse me. I get a little bit of a cough there. Automatic is easier, but I think in certain circumstances, the manual tuners will give you a little bit more flexibility with an antenna that's not exactly resonant. So it's a trade-off. They each serve their own purposes.
Politically correct you with the rotation. Do I have it or Rich dropped out for a moment?
No, Rich excused himself. He said he had to take care of something. He said he'd be back shortly.
Okay, I'm going to make a ride and ride home. Give me a moment.
I'll be here. WB2CSE.
CSE from N to RBP. I make the turn from Edgewood Avenue to 25 in Smithtown. And it's a right on red, but then if they can make this left turn from the other end, it says no right on red. You have to be careful, so I just want to be safe. Yeah, I got how many rigs I got now? I had the ICOM 7062 in the car. I've had it for 15 years. I got two mobile rigs. I got a monoband 2 meter, my first rig I bought. I got my dad's. I got 4 HTs. And then I have the TS-50. I'm going to put it in a go kit case, you know. I mean, and I got this rig, and I got now the ICOM 7100. I really love it. It's a really nice radio.
Yeah, well, I deal mostly with commercial stuff, so I'm not familiar with what's on the amateur market most of the time. These people have to learn that green means you can go. Anyway, I have a 706 Mark II G, which I have sitting at home. I used to have it in my other car, but we sold that. And, you know, sort of don't really have much of a use for it. I'm looking to maybe use it more when I retire.
Now I'm going to call my commercial equipment. I made my acquaintance with a bunch of hams in the morning on this breakfast club net, 3838. And when the guy's on the net, very interesting gentleman. His name is Arnold, and it's called W4AKL. Lives in Orleans, Virginia. He's got a lot of property. He's got a big giant antenna. He was born in Germany in 1934. They lived in Germany, you know, through the war, obviously. I think he went to school there. But he came to this country in 70. He's got a communications consultant. He's done work for the State Department. He rebuilt the communications infrastructure in Iraq, in Baghdad, and all of that. And he's, like, really an interesting fellow, you know, really. But I was talking to him. Let me drop it. Had call letters. I mean, he's had other call letters. If you look him up on QRZ.com, W4AK, look it up. He has a full biography. I want to put my, I want to take a photo of myself in my shack. But anyway, he's sitting in a station in like Thailand in the 60s. Obviously, he's still probably living in Germany. I mean, a different call letter, probably a Thai call letter. And you see all this equipment, like old stuff with the big dollars. So I asked him what it was. Collins. Does Collins, so, because when I worked in a, company. I worked as a security guard years ago doing tours at an aviation company. they did, you know, maintenance on the airplanes. I used to air for Collins, you know, for the airplanes. So is Collins still in business? I think they are, but they make stuff for aircraft.
Well, Collins used to be big into military. And I honestly don't know, because that's part of the business that I never got involved in. Richie probably has an inkling. I don't think Collins has been manufacturing anything in quite a while, but I'm not 100% sure, so I wouldn't want to incorrectly guide you, but they are extremely well known for their HF equipment, and it garners a high price when you try to purchase it, and if you try to sell it, you wind up getting some significant funds for it, but never got involved with it, so don't know that much about it.
Well, it's because they didn't have a transceiver. You had a receiver and a transmitter. And, you know, I mean, you have to see the station you sent. I have to see the station he's got now. My station's got one rig, and I'm toying with it. I'm thinking about putting one of my 2-meter rigs back. I'm thinking about taking my ICOM 229H, put it back on my shack, and with an AB switch, and I'm thinking maybe use it for packet, get a TNC, and just use it for packet radio, dedicated just to that. Make use of, you know, the 7100, but, and then my dad's rig, I might put it back at my mom's house, see if I just use a J-pole. I don't think I have a Linko power supply. I'm going to throw my Astron. I don't think it's like a boat. It's a boat anchor. The Linko is really nice. It's a really nice power supply. I bought it from DX Engineering.
And over the years, there have been a variety of different items available. Yeah, by the way, the Collins S-Line is generally what everybody's looking at, although they have made radios that have been in the military market have made it into the ham community as well. It used to be radios that came from tanks and aircraft. I don't know if they made a transceiver. I am familiar with the separate receivers and transmitters, the nomenclature, and that's about it. Never used one, have had friends that have had them, but I'm not one of them.
I can't remember when I was doing this. I worked at a place called Garrett Aviation. I worked there in 2002, 2005. I worked for a company called Securitas Security Services. I had a contract. And this is after 9/11. I had a little booth they used to sit in. But then when nobody was around, I would go back on the building, a badge, and I would do a tour. It was a hangar. You know, they did the maintenance on it. Now it's called, it's on Smithtown Boulevard, Smithtown. They do, like, maintenance on, like, you know, Learjets, Gulfstreams, those type of planes. And I remember when I walked into, like, the office area of the company, I'd see the posters. I think it was Collins something. It was, like, merged with other companies. And I said, wait, they're still around? But they made, like, radio stuff for aircraft. So I figured if you want to get that, just get stuff that would go into an airplane.
Yeah, I can't tell you. But it is considered the high end of the market for amateur. The only things that I have dealt with myself, and that was many years ago when I was in the retail business, were Swan and Drake, which, while considered good quality, are not. They're like the Chevys and the Collins is the Cadillac, if you want to make a auto comparison.
Should we give you information?
Why don't you pick it up, Richard?
Okay, Matt. Collins did not turn into another company. After Art Collins passed away, Rockwell picked up the company. It's now known today as Rockwell Collins. And I had Collins equipment here. They had a, they did have an amateur division, which they closed up
just wasn't money in it for that. Then, the last radio they made was all solid state. It was called KWM 380. Before that, what I had was the KWM 2 transceiver. Over to you, Matt.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. I think it was Rockwell. When I was looking for the building, I think it was Rockwell. About web, you know, see what they got out there. But man, yeah, I mean, I worked the station. I never got a card. I worked the guy in the 8th shop. There he was on a 727 cargo plane. Because if you're a pilot in a plane, and you got your FCC license, the aircraft, you know, could go on a, they get HF rigs on airplanes. They go 118, 119 AM. And I got that plugged on my 706. If I'm coming down by MacArthur Airport and I tune it in, I'm just listening. Can't transmit, of course. I can hear sometimes the control tower talking to a pilot and giving them, you know, the clearance to land to take off. So, you know, that's what you get. You want to get something that comes out of an airplane. Those are really good radios.
You never find that the price you go for. I'm going to back out of here like a continuous team. And I just want to give you that information. Steve, pick it up and tune me out. I'll be listening.
And here I am. Hello, bye, Richie.
Hi, Jeff.
Jeff, Matt is in here. We were just schmoozing for a while, if you'd like to jump in. Always nice to schmooze. Good morning, guys. Just got out of where I had to go, and I'm on my way back home. So I got to go from Plainview to Oceanside, the capital OE. Matt?
Just a fire engine making a turn. I had to wait. Comac fired up once. They're racing to something. They're in front of me. So, yeah, I'm going to look that up. When I get to work and I sign on my work computer, I'm going to look up Rockwell Collins. I just want to look this up, you know. Very interesting.
Yeah, well, as Richie said, he's on some of this stuff, so his information is undoubtedly more informative than what I could tell you. Jeff, you got anything to contribute on this conversation?
No, I owned one Collins piece of equipment years ago, a receiver, but I don't know much about him. I was more of a Drake guy in those days. I'm one of the guys who still knows how to dip the plate. Matt?
I have a question. I just blew it. I went to KRP, I think it is, or whatever, in Amityville, no, in South Armadale, and I got BNC connectors, I mean, you know, PL250, but the ones you solder. So my question is, I'm going to put the shield on, and my question is that I was told I have to scrape the Teflon off on the, like, when I'm going to revolve, it seems to be working fine, but I'm going to make other connectors, I get a special tool to strip it, where I get down. I turn the shield down a little bit. So I'm going to put solder on the shield. I'm going to get a hole where you blow the solder. They tell me I have to scrape, like, the Teflon off the metal. How do I do it? Do I need a file, or can I just rub it with some sharp object? I want to, you know, play around with this.
I'm trying to figure out where the Teflon is coming from. Yeah, me too. You got a BNC connector, and you want to put it on what type of cable?
It's not if it's Teflon, but he said it's only like, before I could solder, it's got four holes. So once you tin the, you know, the braid, you know, the shield, and you slide it over, you want to, so the solder to make the contact, you have to scrape it. So what do I scrape? Should I get a file? I don't know if I have any file. Should I get a metal file? I got a file in my office, so I just scrape through the file so then the solder could make the connection.
Well, not being in a position to show you how to do it, I would recommend maybe trying to Google it, because BNC connectors on coax such as RG58 or RG400, you don't solder the shield. You generally bring the shield through the metal ferrule and fold it back over it so it's a pressure fit when you put it together. I can't really describe it, but I would recommend looking up the installation procedure. I'm sure you can find it. You just described it. That's exactly the way to do it. BNCs are good, though. They're kind of lossless. It's like putting an N connector on. About the same kind of minimal loss. Let's see, Matt, over to you, N2ION.
I haven't talked to you in a long time. I remember I went to your house that time. You know, I'm married now. I got married like over a year and a half ago. I'm a happily married man. My wife is a diehard Mets and Knicks, you know, basketball team, and then Mets for baseball. So while she's watching her games, I'm playing AM radio.
Funny, I'm a diehard Mets and Jet fan, and I play AM radio.
I went. I think he lived in the Middle Island. I went down to the base for that, and you know, I remember that.
By the way, before I forget, be careful when you're soldering that center pin because you can't really get any solder on the outside because it will actually enlarge it to the point where the pin will not go through. So you gotta have a delicate touch.
Next is happening. I got to my dad. In, I don't know if you know that my dad passed away in CLS through the solid key 2 years ago, and I found he had a lot of connections from away. So there's like a few left from radio. So these are the ones he just slide on. They just feel with the steel, and he just maybe put some solder on the end. Nothing you can do is really solderless. So what happened was my 20-meter dipole, it broke. And on the other hand, WNDY put something on, but it wasn't holding. I was, you know, reconnecting stuff. So I used the original one. I just, I set up the tool. I got enough of shield in it. It's broken because I'm doing it and everything. I think about redoing it, but I don't think it's on me. I think it's on me. It's fine, you know?
Yeah, you're getting a little bit noisy right now, so I don't know exactly where you are, but you're not making it in very well.
I'm on Crooked Hill Road, heading into Brentwood here. I suffered from this point. So, that's Eastern Repeater.
We go over to the 375 machine.
I'm going to 85, because I'm sort of left on the whole thing.
That time we heard it. Okay, see you later, Matt. N2RBT, WB2CSC. Hello, Matt. N2ION. So, Steve, where are you up to? No, I'm not 100% sure. It's either Great Neck or Manhasset. Okay, that's not good. Not so Great Neck. Do you speak Persian or Hebrew? Look, you speak English. No. Hard place to get along. All right. Very good, very good. I'm just making my way down the Seafood Oyster Bar Expressway. Okay. Anyway, let me sneak out of here.